Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey, that was quite a rant there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, man, let me make some Captain Crunch, all right?
Yo, man, do you have any milk?
Yo, yeah, what sure. Time is it?
I don't know. What day is
don't
it?
Know. I'll tell you.
We don't know.
Well, it was a Wednesday. Me and your boss always kind of hungry. Like two eggs and a sloppy slice of lettuce. And a glass of milk and some cookies. Spotted in the mist was the BK logo. What we said, well, what do you know? This chick thought I was trying to play fly because I had a pair of blue jeans on. Young girl, won't you take my order? She said, yeah, but right now I'm sort of busy. Don't you see I'm trying to put this band-aid on my finger? Lingering, I can tell. She's a BK, mademoiselle. With the uniform and bottled bell and some
jelly stuff on her sleeve. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. One last call on this. Mike, you're on Toucher and Rich.
Hello, fellows.
What's up, Mike?
Well, I want to talk to Michael.
Hi, Mike.
And appreciate what he did for the dance and, you know, humbled himself.
Very humbling.
You have no idea what, you know, I think, man, that's a real man there.
Thanks, Mike.
About that? Well, you got a new phone. You got a new fan club there,
yeah.
Mike. How about that? You earned a couple fans.
It takes a real man to poorly do a dance from 1999.
There's already gifts, by the way, that are being.
I don't think I ever want to see that.
Yeah,
so,
well, I'm retweeting all of them.
I have
so
it here.
We've got quite a few of them for that.
That's good.
Do you know that last guy?
No.
Okay. Well,
I don't think so.
That was the third time he was on the air today.
Oh, really?
During this show.
He's into it.
Really?
He told me not to dance.
He's the guy that then called.
And he called and said, I told him not to dance.
I told him not to dance. And he was like talking to somebody else. And then we hung up.
Oh, what's that guy?
But I won him over by doing the dance.
You did.
I went against his advisement.
You did.
But
you went against it. All right. So real quick, because we only have a couple minutes here. This is, tonight is the U2 show. And last night, U2 was also in town. And I was saying this earlier, is that it's the first concert where I've looked at the prices and I'm like, this is the most ridiculously expensive concert I've ever seen. Like, if you want to sit anywhere in the loge,
saw tickets for $500 tonight if you want to go down row two.
Yeah. Dan went last night and he sat in a loge and it was $350 a ticket. Is that right?
$329.50
without all the service fees and everything, right?
I didn't say I paid. That's what the ticket price was.
Okay, they tacked on another grand.
The ticket $329.50 for loge
per person. So, like me, as I said, you're allowed to be pathetic about any band or any team. You know, one team in one band, and U2's been my band for years. And so I was like, I don't know if I can even go to this because I'd feel like this is awful. Me and my wife.
And you're Rich Hurtley. You're a man about town.
And how about that? Man about town. And I was like, that's going to cost like $1,000 if I want to go and see this show. If it was the three of us, over $1,000. Like, I can't do that. So we bought, like, we are sitting in tonight, like 10 rows from the top. Like, I mean, and even that was like $115, $120 a ticket, which is absolute insanity. But
so half
way,
a thousand instead of a thousand.
Pretty much. Yeah. But then again, that's my band that I'm stupid about, and I've always been that way. However, somebody apparently is also a fan, and that gentleman's name is Tom Brady. Tom Brady last night went to the TD Garden to go see the U2 concert. It was amazing how he was just walking amongst the people. No, he was. Yeah. This would seem to be filmed from some sort of box, obviously.
Probably a suite.
Probably a suite.
He was with Giselle. I don't think Giselle's allowed to mingle on the floor, floor seats.
Probably not. So here is Tom Brady from his own Instagram account. And my man's got some pipes.
As someone who has never done anything embarrassing in front of a microphone or camera, that's shameful, Tom. You got to know better than that. People are watching and listening.
You can actually identify with that. Now,
I can't say one word of criticism.
What's and he chose to post that, which was great. I actually think that's kind of funny. I mean, he's like, all right, whatever. I'm going to post that.
You know what though? Like he's Tom Brady's trying to fight time, trying to be young. Nothing screams like 40-year-old white dude more than like singing along to YouTube.
You know, YouTube concert, right? Absolutely. I know the crew that I'm
Father
running
Time
with.
Is catching up.
So I know the crew I'm running with, and then he continues. So Tom Brady's doing that, and he's running out and about. He's, you know, having himself a time last night, and apparently this was all after a day of, or maybe it was the day before, where did you see those pictures that came out?
Yeah, working out.
Yeah, so Brady, there were pictures of him somewhere in Chestnut Hill.
And some college I never heard of.
Yeah, yeah, it was like in the field of, I don't even know what college it is.
I think it's Newton.
Okay, so he was out in some field, and the picture that was snapped was a picture of Tom Brady sitting down in the field, and then what looks like Julian Edelman, and then it's definitely Alex Guerrero right there next to them. So he has been working out during this offseason with the guys that, you know, he likes working out with, apparently. So he's doing that, and this is all like all on the heels of everybody writing all these articles about how the Patriots aren't fun anymore and all this stuff has been going back. Did you read the article from Boston.com?
Is it fun? Is it still fun being a Patriots fan?
Is it fun to be a Patriots fan?
I clicked it, obviously, and kind of scanned through, but it was quite long, and I didn't really get deep into it, but
okay.
It obviously ruffled a couple feathers.
Okay, so you are someone who, you write about all four teams, or all four of the big teams, and even more, but when you write your articles, you get responses from fan bases one way or the other.
Right.
Like, okay.
Always.
Okay. Which fan base is the most humorless as far as their response to your criticisms of their team?
I mean, I don't want to attack anybody, but yeah, it's probably Patriots.
How could it not be?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like,
how could it not be the Patriots?
Like, the other day I got pushback from people, and I mentioned this the other day, when I wrote, you know, if Malcolm Butler had played the Super Bowl and they won, they were like, Malcolm Butler shouldn't have played. Literally, people were saying that. Like, it was a good decision. Whereas if I said the day before the Super Bowl, Malcolm Butler shouldn't play tomorrow, everyone would call for me to retire.
You're right, yeah.
And yet, months pass, and it's sort of like, oh, no, it was a good... I mean, Bill did what he had to do. It was good. So I think there is an element of that.
And what's crazy, too, is that
Red Sox fans, by the way, have gotten much more to that. When I grew up, the Red Sox fans were the most hardened, tough, grizzled people that, you know, where everything sucks, everything's negative. Now, they're much more on that, like, how could you say something bad about a Red Sox player thing?
It's like, and they're the most humorless? They're the second most humorless,
you would say? I don't know. They're gaining.
You know what's weird, too, is that you would think that, Hurley, you would be forever on, like, the plaque in the We Support You as a Patriots writer, big wall that they have there, because there was nobody that defended the team more during Deflategate than you.
I defended the facts and the truth and the reality.
It doesn't matter.
It just happened to favor the Patriots.
That's right.
That everything the league did was slanted against them.
So it doesn't matter. For a moment there, I thought it was you forever had a bust in the Patriots fan hall of
life
fame.
Life is fleeting. That's right.
And I guess so, and they're already turning their backs on you anytime.
Not necessarily, but you know, you hear everything from everyone.
Okay.
It's good. It's healthy.
Okay. You also,
it keeps you in check.
So would you say on the other side of things that Celtics fans are the most laid back and the most forgiving?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Almost to a point where it's like you can criticize them almost as much as Patriots fans for being a little too happy with their team.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, there's the whole, people say green team.
I don't think it's a problem, though, as much as it's made out to be. Like, oh, they support players. Like, yeah, well, that's sort of what sports fans do.
Sure.
Hold on. Is it some of this where the teams are in the cycle, though? I mean, if the Celtics were in the middle of their run in the 80s, I mean, I remember fans in the 80s were feeling very, very entitled because, hell, when Bird, Parrish, and McHale were here, it was the finals or bust. And if they lost a game to, take a pick, Sacramento, I don't even know what Sacramento was in. Kansas City was probably in Kansas City at the time. But if you lost to the New Jersey Nets in February, there were, you know, there were problems. So I think it might have a little bit to do with where you are in the cycle. Patriots have been great for a decade and a half, almost two decades. That's different than a Celtics team that is improving every year
Then why are the fans the most sensitive? Like, if they've been great for so long, then why are the fans the most sensitive?
I think because the media is so 24/7, so nonstop, that stories that the average fan might get sick of gets driven into the ground, and then they just hold a resentment toward the media, and it just sort of builds. That's what I gather from it.
What's the angriest the Patriots fans gotten at you?
Oh, I don't know.
Deflategate.
No, they were pro.
Well,
no,
early but before, you know, certain things came out, I would say I was probably more, you know, critical of the whole situation, but I don't know. I don't keep track. A lot of people keep track. I sort of, I live day to day. Whatever happened yesterday...
You live on the edge.
I'm over it.
He's like Rambo at the end of the second one.
If I'm sitting here telling you about emails I got 2 years ago, I would hope you'd be worried about my
well-being. One day you're angry. The next day, just, you know what? Forget about it all. Let's just sing.
What do you think Brady played paid for those ticks?
What do you think he paid?
Yeah, probably nothing. Probably nothing.
Well, you got a shout out last night.
It's good because at the Super Bowl, Brady was like, "Oh, I love listening to music," and people were like, "Oh, what do you listen to?" And he's like, "I'll keep that private." And it's like, dude, you can talk about what music you listen to. So at least you know he's following through. That's the most human he's been all offseason, right? You asked me the other day how he's doing at coming across as a human. I think being a terrible singer at a U2 show is relatable.
That's why I had no problem. I actually thought it was kind of funny. Yeah. I mean, you know.
I think just bring it up an octave. I think Brady and I could start a boy band. I'll dance, he sings.
I think it would work out well for everyone. All right, six.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's that, Walt?
I can't help but notice that the music is just a little different when Fred is not here.
You know what this
I
is?
Don't mind it. I like this music a lot. I don't know who this is.
It's De La Soul. It's from what many people will say is a top 10 rap album of all time. De La Soul is Dead.
What is this?
De La Soul is Dead Saturday.
No, the song.
Saturday.
Okay. Yeah.
This was like their quote unquote hit, I think, off this album.
What year is this?
90. It's a Saturday. Might be 93. Saturday. De La Soul, one of the more underrated, or maybe not underrated, just as far as album sales, would you say is one of the more underrated rap artists? That new album that they made, they just said, we don't want to pay royalties to anybody for samples, so they just had live bands record their songs, and it's amazing. It's phenomenal. There's a song they did with Snoop Dogg, because he does something with everyone, but it's one of the best songs in the album. They got the guys from The Darkness to do a song with them. Hmm. The guys from...
They weren't busy?
Blur and the Gorillaz, The Darkness.
Yeah.
Dude, The Darkness are like doing well.
Really?
They're kind of having one of those, you know, like Weezer kind of went away, and people were like... This band's like really good, and they kind of got a cult following. That's happening with The Darkness
right
now.
It's one of those things where you have a hit song and it goes worldwide, and you kind of have back off for a little bit.
You know what? That song, that first album is front to back excellent, and the second one was good, but the one they just came out might be their best one. They're one of those bands that if you go and listen to the songs other than the hit, they're not sneaky good. They're great. Like, they're a great live band. They're fun live as well too. So yeah.
They played like the Paradise. I feel I saw videos. He was like the singer was like. Climbing through the balcony while singing.
I was at that show. Yeah. They just played Royale too as well. So I mean, you know, in town they played House of Blues recently as well. I mean, they're drawing a couple thousand people every time they play, but their crowds are getting bigger. So yeah,
buy a jacket.
No, I did not. I did not buy a jacket like you did. I don't think I've ever bought anything more than a T-shirt at a concert. Like as far as like something like wildly expensive. Like, have you ever been to a Metallica? Metallica might be the worst offenders. Of any band.
Oh, the shirts are like $85, aren't they?
They have like hockey jerseys, like hockey sweaters that are Metallica, and I think they're over $100.
I haven't seen them since 2004. It's been a long time.
They're still great live.
Yeah?
I saw them
at Gillette. I wanted to go last year, I don't know, it was like a Friday night Gillette, right?
Yeah, I remember that show because I had to leave halfway through. By the way, I went by myself to that concert. Literally by myself.
That's not so bad.
I felt like the biggest loser, and then I looked around, and I was like, I'm not quite the biggest loser, but I'm close to the biggest loser. And I drove home that night, and it was the night that the Celtics got absolutely murdered by the Cleveland Cavaliers in the playoffs last year.
And they lost by like 47 points. Yeah, 42 points.
And Wallach was doing the play-by-play, and the whole ride home, it was Wallach and Cedric Maxwell not even talking about the game while the game was going on.
Playoff game.
Just talking
Eastern Conference Finals game.
Just talking about the future, and you're just like, nah, this is what they got to play
for. There's a bucket.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks. Another thing that kind of sucks is that the Bruins are getting screwed. So the Bruins' schedule came out yesterday, and in three different ways, they are getting
a massive shaft, and I don't know why it's happening all at once this year. The first one is that when they announced the home opener for the Washington Capitals, when they get their rings, who's going to be on the other side of that?
Of course, the Bruins.
Of course, the Boston Bruins, which I always, you know, when
it's
you're
a tough one.
When you're the team on the other side, you got to sit there and watch that. That's always a kick in the balls.
Though I think the Bruins lost when they got their Stanley Cup banner raised. I think the Flyers beat them that night, so it can be done.
Okay, so either way,
it's a mountain you don't necessarily want in front of you.
But that's
in October.
I care less about that one than I do about these two. So the Bruins' first home game is a matinee. It's during the day. The first home game.
It's Columbus Day.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, but how many people?
At like three,
like
right?
Tons of people.
No,
work.
1 o'clock.
One.
Well,
do we get Columbus Day off?
Nope.
I mean, no, we don't because we're on the radio.
I think most people work it. And then you get the day after Thanksgiving off. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. So, like, most businesses have to work Columbus Day. So, while you're working, is going to be the Bruins' home opener. So, they get screwed on that front. And how about this? The day after Thanksgiving, what's the tradition with the Bruins?
Right. Well, it's been robbed from them.
Yeah.
The NHL robbed it.
Yeah, they're usually the matinee, and it's the best.
Like they were for like 25
didn't
years.
Didn't they flip it last year, though? I want to say they flipped it last
year. I think they got it
last year, but the year before they didn't have it.
So now...
Oh, yeah, they did flip it. I think the Celtics played in the day, and the Bruins played it
last year. Yep.
Okay, so now the day after Thanksgiving is a night game.
Mm-hmm.
So you got them having to stay on the other side of the Stanley Cup winning guys while they all get the rings and they raise the banner, which sucks.
Skate the cup around.
Sure.
Players will be going nuts.
You're right. And then they'll be sitting on the other side of it like, all right, get this over with,
Jack. Linda Carter's going to be there.
Well, and Pat Sajak, of course. You have to bring out all the celebrity fans. And maybe they'll get those cool...
We have something special for you guys tonight.
That's right, boys.
That's right, boys. We're raising the banner tonight, boys.
Or what about...
Please welcome comedian and impressionist Terry Fader and his next-door neighbor, Dougie.
Dougie's pretty good, though. I don't know how they got... Did you know, like I know you're Vegas, you want to get a magician.
Yeah.
They got a guy with the personality of Toast.
Yes, he had jokes.
He was literally just like, now I'm going to do this trick. And then he screwed up the Kopitar card trick.
Oh, you're talking about
the magician.
He completely screwed it up.
Yeah.
He
got rejected.
On TV and screwed it up.
I'm Darcy Oak, and I am a magician.
Ooh. That's good. That's nice. Well, I mean, so that does suck for the Bruins. And you know, when the schedule comes out... I think this might be the first year that I specifically go to an away game for the Bruins.
Vegas.
Well, the Vegas one is in February. It's like February 20th.
That sounds kind of perfect.
Which does sound right. That sounds like a great time to do it.
That's when you want to go to Vegas. After football season.
Yeah. That's about the right time to go.
We'll get back.
20th.
We'll be back from Atlanta by then. So, yeah.
You're confident.
You got the hotel booked?
Oh, we're set to go. The thing is, and we've talked about this at length, all three of us have friends in Atlanta. You guys have more history there than I do, but I have a couple of friends in Atlanta I want to go visit. You guys have a lot of history there, which is why the Patriots will
careful,
not
though.
Go.
Yeah, I was looking forward to New York. That one didn't work out.
And New Orleans. New Orleans of all the ones. That would have been amazing. But my whole thing is, you know my opinion on Super Bowl week. I think even if they don't go to the Super Bowl,
we should go anyway.
We go there, and there's all these different like people from stations all across the country.
Especially in a city that isn't Minneapolis, where people might actually be going through.
Because,
I mean, the only people in the mall, I don't know how many guests you had.
Oh, no, a lot of them, we had mall walkers. It was great.
Okay. Yeah, but like in terms of like celebrities, you might fare better in Atlanta than Minneapolis.
I'll say this, without any doubt, of all the Super Bowls that we've gone to, Minneapolis had the least amount of guests.
Well, because it's the middle of a food court.
Because
there's people around. Like, celebrities aren't going to want to.
It's because it's Minneapolis.
Well,
no one wants to go to Minneapolis.
It's 5 degrees. Remember that walk from the hotel over to the mall when we got there?
Dude, it sucked. It was minus 10. It was minus 10.
The mall was.
But that was without the wind chill.
Yards. The mall was 500 yards from our hotel. It might as well have been 500
there's,
miles.
There's nobody who's a Patriots fan, who went to the Super Bowl, regardless of the outcome. There's nobody who tells you that they had like an enjoyable time and they want to go back to Minneapolis for another Super Bowl.
The stadium was unbelievable, though.
Well, the stadium's great, but who cares? I mean, you're in the stadium for the game, and that's it.
Yeah, I went downtown once on Saturday, and it was so crowded and so poorly laid out. Like, to get, you know, you're going through the tunnels and all that stuff, but when you went on the street, like, you couldn't get it. They just jammed it in, and they're like, it'll be fine.
And you're freezing. Like,
it wasn't that cold by the weekend. It was like normal.
Okay, during the week.
And when it was
awful. I said minus 10 without the wind chill walking across that parking lot. I mean, that was like everything in your body goes, F you!
We got about halfway there. We're like, boy, this is a gigantic mistake.
But I like what they're doing. They're taking the Super Bowls and they're now doing a cycle.
It's going to be a rotation. It is going to be
LA,
Arizona,
New
Miami,
Orleans,
New Orleans,
Vegas,
and the new
LA.
They haven't officially announced Vegas yet, but in about 5 years, they'll put it there in LA when they get their stadium
built. New Orleans has to fix the electricity problems, though. They can't have that.
Those, well, see, that's how great of a Super Bowl that was as far as the city hosting it, is that even with the power going out during the freaking Super Bowl, everyone who covered it was like, dude, New Orleans is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you can forgive that.
Yeah, a 40-minute break in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, then you did an unbelievable job. But I just love how your confidence is that they're going to be going to the Super Bowl this year.
Hell yeah.
You know the last Super Bowl loser to make it back to the Super Bowl there, Wallach?
I don't know.
The Buffalo Bills in 1992.
Well,
it's been a long time.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. The Bills won four in a row. So, I mean, I'll
you don't really want to be in the Bills' company.
No,
so.
But
any team can do
getting
it,
getting there. Getting there. That's the point. Getting there. No, so we can get there.
25 years.
Didn't they lose four in a row?
They did.
Why don't you just dance for us again?
Nah, we're number tired.
John getting all... You got knowledge served.
Our first boy band fight.
Well, it won't be the last. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get to the stack right after John Wallach's headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. You were just mentioning something to me off the air, Michael Hurley, is that you said Pasta Joe being on the air the other day actually got you to go to Taco Bell.
I don't know what happened, but I was in the drive-thru line. I was floated there.
Fritos and beef.
Well, it's kind of like out of nowhere, and marketing must be working, but ever since I see those McDonald's commercials where they got like the fresh ground beef, like I've been jonesing for like one of those things. All right.
But only one of those, not another burger.
I just want that one. Yeah. So it's advertising, it's obviously working. Hands down the best fast food item anywhere. What is it? Like if you had to have one fast food item anywhere, where would it be?
I'm partial to the Whopper. If I'm going to go simple, like, you know, Staples. Mm. You like the Whopper?
A
little mayonnaise and ketchup action. Tomato.
I gave up fast food red meat like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I know it's weird, but I gave up.
It's not that weird.
I gave up red meat for Lent like a long time ago, and for some reason I came back like fast food red meat. So it has to be something special like that commercial that I saw for me to actually like do that. So no, that probably wouldn't be it for me.
I like the Wendy's chicken sandwich.
Oh, it's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good.
Spicy one. Let's
keep breakfast out of it because there's a bunch of really good breakfast.
Hot cakes. McDonald's hot cakes are good. But we're not doing breakfast.
No. And
McGriddles.
I could eat almost anything from Dunkin', but I'm trying to think just like lunch stuff. I probably got to go with the chicken soft taco supremes. That's about a perfect meal.
I like the cheesy gordita crunch. If we're going Taco Bell,
not bad. There's no Arby's around here either. Oh, Chick-fil-A sandwich. A straight up Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Does Moe's count? Yeah.
Moe's does count.
Homewrecker's
pretty damn good.
That's
the go-to.
That's fast food,
but it's like real food.
Homewrecker at most. That's it.
All right.
If the kitchen, done. if you can basically be a part of the kitchen, it's not necessarily fast food.
Really?
If they're not hiding anything from you,
then I'm out. Sorry.
Right.
See it all in front of you.
All right. Well, I would say, yeah. And that's the thing that sucks is that for some reason, there's like not the complete lack of fast food restaurants around the city of Boston is insane.
Guys, you got to come out to Natick where I am.
Yeah, I know you live in Paradise. Stop bragging about you getting an Arby's.
Where's the closest Taco Bell? Woburn?
No, I used to drive.
One in Cambridge is gone.
Framingham.
I used to drive to Saugus to go to the drive through.
I think there's one in Framingham. Yeah.
I would go to the one at Saugus, but there used to be one, and I think there might still be one in Cambridge, but
on Mass Ave?
Not that one. Oh. There was one in Cambridge that is kind of near Inman Square, but you have to get out of your car to go in and get your food, and that I don't think should qualify.
What's outrageous, too, is in the Alston-Brighton line, there's a KFC that doesn't have a Taco Bell, which is...
Used to, though, didn't it?
I don't know. I just know they have KFC, and I think that's outrageous.
Yeah,
the city of Boston demands more than that.
All right, let's go to... Nick, you've been on hold for a while. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey.
Hey, I think we won the draft yesterday. I'm sorry. Like, we got the best player. Like, how do we not win the draft? Why aren't teams, like, trying to, like take away from the Celtics? Like, try to throw, like, a Kawhi Leonard to deteriorate them from, like, their plan moving forward?
Because the 26 teams before ours are suckers.
Bozos.
Suckers, I tell you. They won the draft. That's what Woj said last night, and I believe him.
Every draft grade I've seen is either a B-plus or higher on the Celtics.
Oh, well, I mean,
Kevin O'Connor was the lowest. He gave him a B-plus.
I think it's a bit extreme. I mean, the guy did go 27th.
No, it's a great fit on value.
Well, it's grading on value.
In situation.
Okay. Yes. Here's, and boy, I am going to sound like the biggest homer saying this, but I think we've learned that this is true. And I am a homer. I love that team. But here's the thing about this pick is that I believe because of his character concerns and everything that people put out there is that on a lot of different teams, he wouldn't be as much of a potential success as he is with Brad Stevens. That's it. I mean, you're putting him with a team that has a guy who has been very good at getting players to behave, to buy into the system, and you already have a culture. I mean, just think about walking into that new Arbox Center and just looking around.
Ooh,
just going,
they got
all
floating
right.
tubs.
Dude, they got floating tubs. They got a barber shop in there. But they've also got Brad Stevens, who I think that if there's anyone that can get through to this guy, it's going to be him. And I don't think that's too much of an exaggeration nowadays. I think he's pretty got a proven record at this point with the Celtics that he can handle something like that.
And I think even more than that, it's their situation. They're going to be contending for a title right away.
Right.
Like, you step into a situation where you're on a team that should win the Eastern Conference next year and be in the finals. So if that can't get your juices flowing to be competitive and make the roster and, you know, make an impact, I don't know what will. So it's worth a shot.
Jimmy, talk to me.
I went to New York a couple weeks ago and got to experience Shake Shack for the first time. And I got what I thought was going to be a burger with mushrooms on it. It's called the Shroomy Burger. But it turns out it is a portobello mushroom deep fried and stuffed with melted Gouda. And it might have been one of the best sandwiches I've ever had.
Jimmy, you do not have to preach the greatness of Shake Shack. I am a Shake Shack addict. I'm not kidding you. I probably eat there once every 2 weeks, at least.
Did you go a lot in Minneapolis when it was staring you in the face every morning?
No, you know what? I actually did not. No,
you know what? Wow. But there was a reason for that.
Because it opened 3 hours after we were done doing our show.
We were finished and nothing in the mall opened until 11:30 Central.
I think Orange Julius was open. So
okay,
we actually, after
the show, wandered around the mall for an hour, the three of us, and then Fred and I sat at this other food court, which is separate from the food court we were broadcasting from. We literally waited for 45 minutes for a restaurant to open.
So yeah. The best thing that came from that, I'm pretty sure it was your post of all the pictures of the stores that looked like they were fake stores from TV shows that just filled the mall. It was like, here are pants you can buy.
Well, there was one called Big Tough Jeans, and then there was another one that was called the Alpaca Connection.
Just sold beef jerky. Yeah. I mean, it was weird.
Yeah, the whole thing. There was one that was called, like, you know, Beef Jerky World.
It was like the Truman Show having mall stores,
yes.
Basically.
Or like Mall Rats. Like, didn't the movie Mall Rats have, like, Time for Cookies and Buy Me Toys?
Time for Cookies.
Basically. The name of the place. Yeah. I mean, that's... It all seemed fake. Everything there seemed fake. You know what? This is worth playing one more time, because, you know, we had a little bit of debate on this earlier. A sports debate, rather. Me and Hurley. Did you win?
I don't know, but I won the sports debate.
Because I actually put a...
undefeated in sports debate.
And the dance-off.
I lost the dance-off.
Dan, can you pull up... I want to play this Rozier thing. So last night on the Bleacher Report, they did this, like, live video streaming thing where for draft night, and Terry Rozier was sitting in with three writers for the Bleacher Report. Now, this video comes about 3 to 4 minutes before the Celtics make their pick. So this is right when the 76ers are about to make theirs. And these guys are asking Terry Rozier, who do you think the Celtics are going to pick? And then this happens. Do you have it pulled up by any chance? I'll give you a second. But when I saw this, my first reaction, well, first of all, was that's kind of funny. And the second reaction was,
uh-oh,
Danny's going to be pissed. Like, this is something that would, like, legitimately piss me off if I was Danny Ainge. Now, remember, there has not been anything online. Twitter is not even Wojnarowski has done one of those vague tipping of the picks that he was doing all last night about who it was going to be. So this was just 4 or 5 minutes before the Celtics make their pick, and this happens with Terry Rozier.
He might be worried to see a call coming from you on.
Yeah. Danny. What's up? Who is going to be?
I got to draft a point guard.
You know, I need to really know who it's going to be so I can, you know.
Okay, so stop and take. So the setup is they were asking Terry Rozier, who do you think's going to get drafted? And he goes, I'll FaceTime Danny Ainge. And they're like, what? They kind of start laughing. And sure enough, he calls, and Danny Ainge answers. Now, once again, this is minutes before the pick is there. So here's
suspicious
Danny Ainge
that he'd answer.
I see. We'll talk about that. But Danny Ainge was looking at him, and you see his face on the phone. And here's how it goes.
You know, I need to really know who it's going to be so I can, you know, get a little inside scoop.
We're trying to find out right now.
Okay, you don't really want to give me the inside scoop, I understand.
No, I do. I wish I could tell you, but I think it's going to be Bob Williams, but we're working on looking at all the medical stuff.
Okay, gotcha. You know, I just wanted to call and mess with you a little bit, see who it was. You know?
All right, brother.
All right, man. I'm going to talk to you. Be safe.
Okay, see you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bob Williams. I'm going to go with Bob Williams.
And then, of course, they
he wouldn't lie to me.
And then, of course, they all orgasm. But then again, that was
funny.
That was great. So my old thing was like, all right, Danny Ainge basically told everybody, not knowing that he was on being broadcast. He had no idea he was being broadcast, if you buy into what was going on. And he told everyone before it was ever leaked out there that they were going to go with Bob Williams. So Danny Ainge was asked about it afterwards, because by then it had gone viral and everyone was talking about it. And here's Ainge.
I was obviously joking with Terry about the guard position, but I had no idea it was on live, whatever live it was. I thought he was FaceTiming me. I had no idea. But anyway, that is sort of funny.
Okay, from watching the video and from seeing the reaction and hearing Danny Ainge's reaction there, I think it's 100% real. There's no way that Danny Ainge was told ahead of time that just 2 to 3 minutes before the pick is announced, we're going to FaceTime you and we're going to pull you away from whatever you're doing so you can be on some live Bleacher Report like webcast.
For 1,200 people.
I just
don't think he would even answer the phone unless Terry told him ahead of time.
You see, I think he's that kind of guy.
Even if they're about to make a draft pick?
You see, I think that he realizes that Rozier is on pins and needles because he could be traded to be moved up. So I think he saw a call from him and he's like, all right, well, I got to calm him down. He's obviously very nervous with this pick. And he picks up the phone and talks to him just to say, hey, you know, listen, you're not.
He leads it off with a dig.
Right. Like a little, like he's busting his balls. So everything's okay, Terry. You're not being traded. And you, Mr. Pessimist over there, think that this was all set up in advance.
I do, because I think not only did he answer the phone at an inopportune time, but the way he worded it protects him from punishment from the NBA. Like, we're thinking it's going to be Bob Williams. And I just think, Bob Williams. And I think he didn't say anything. He didn't expose it. He didn't say we're definitely taking him. So I think he covered himself.
You see, I think there's no way. I think it's 100% real. And by the way, 59% of people agree with me, which is actually a shock because I thought a lot more people would. And 41% think
that
it was
good,
set
though.
Up.
If it was set up, they did it right. And if it wasn't, it's a good moment.
It absolutely was. All right.